Welcome to Read, Eat, Travel, Repeat, the book club and podcast with your hosts, Sarah, Kit, and Marianne, three friends who talk about all things books, food, and travel.
Welcome, readers, eaters, and travelers to Read, Eat, Travel, Repeat, the podcast and book club where books take us beyond the page. I'm Sarah.
I'm Kit.
And I'm Marianne. Today, we'll be talking about the books we have read recently and books we think you need to add to your TBR pile.
And this episode is spoiler-free, so if a book you haven't read yet is mentioned, don't worry, we're not going to spoil it for you. And as always, we are adult readers, and we're going to say some adult things.
I'm an adult? Go figure.
Who let that happen?
Somebody agreed for that, right?
Somebody fell down on the job.
Okay, so what's going on in our lives? Any travel? Any good food?
Yeah, I did. I think the last time we were all together, I mentioned I was headed up to Wyoming like a few days after that. So I did that, which was super fun. And like kind of the highlight was I've been going there for 40 years.
More,
43 years. The first time I traveled there, I was 6 months old.
Wow.
And we've gone almost every year since. But I found a dirt road that I've never been on before. I was like, how did this happen? I stopped to take pictures of the flowers in front of the Tetons.
We won't talk about where I was 43 years ago.
At the back of the parking lot, there was a dirt road that I turned down. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, I've never been here before. It's like beautiful views, no tourists. It's gorgeous.
Nice.
And then when I got home a few days later, we got our new dog, Gus, who was billed as a lab cattle dog mix. But he's so funny. But I'm reasonably certain he's a pointer because anytime he sees a rabbit, he goes into like full pointer like position, which is hysterical. And then he did injure himself pretty fast. So he's been on a little bit of no zoomy rest for a few days, but it's been.
So you decided on Gus. You don't want to call him Soup like we were calling
him? I call him Soup, but the like to the name we're going with for like training purposes is Gus. So like we're all consistent, but I call him Soup when we're just goofing around.
Yeah, when you're just
And Gus is a pretty cute name. It's a nice barn name because he's gonna be a barn dog.
It is pretty cute.
So Gus is pretty solid on that front. How about you, Marianne? What you got going on?
Okay, so of course I have to mention my rom-com movie marathon that I posted out on TikTok. Today, day 7, I was watching 51st Dates before we started this.
God, I love that movie.
Forgot about that movie.
That is one of my favorites.
Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore.
It's because I love the end. Wait till you get to the end. That's
like my to the end.
I love it. Love it.
And of course, I went to the Grand Canyon, Las Vegas for the first time, and Disneyland. There is an amazing bookstore in Las Vegas called The Writer's Block. It was like a highlight of my trip. It was the coolest bookstore I've ever been to. It just was like beautifully decorated. They had so much cool merchandise. I mean, if you ever wanted a cookie jar in the shape of Herman Munster's head, if you know who Herman Munster is.
I didn't know that I wanted that until right now. But
They had those and Eddie Munster. They had
some
of it was like the kids department was almost decorated like Small World with like giant flowers. And,
oh my gosh.
Oh, that's so cool.
And there was a bookstore bunny. And they had a little cafe up front with coffee and like pastries and stuff. It was just nothing you would expect in Las Vegas. Okay. Yeah. Literally, it was towards downtown Las Vegas, not near the strip, but it was so cool.
That's awesome.
But other than that, I've embraced my old age by getting an electric tricycle. And there's definitely a learning curve to that.
No.
Not only the electric part of it, but the tricycle part of it, because you have to take curves and stuff differently when you're on two wheels in the back.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
But after breaking my ankle last year, I didn't want to take any more chances. And then I walk Oswald every day in his stroller, not because there's anything wrong with him as far as physically, but he's really reactive to dogs and birds. Oh, he hates birds so much. Oh my God. So he's like triple tethered into the stroller so he can't go after them and take me with him. So we've been walking every day, trying to get some exercise, trying to build up some more strength in my legs because I need to work on that because I didn't finish physical therapy last year and it shows. So anyhow, what about you, Sarah?
Well, okay, I have to tell you. So I'm looking up the Writer's Block online right now. They have the most amazing book clubs.
Well,
like,
really?
I wish that we were close. There's the names of them are so funny. Like, there's the Double Negative Book Club, Exploring Books and Their On-Screen Adaptations. There's a Queer Book Club, Lit and Wit Through a Queer Lens. Reading Women. This is like my favorite. I think my husband would like this. The Bourbon Book Club, a book discussion paired with whiskey. Like super fun. There's a whole bunch of them on here about like, oh, there's one Libros and Quisme book club, reading club celebrating Latin American voices.
Nice.
So I'm like, I wish we were close. That would be fun to like,
it was such a cool book part club.
Of. Yeah. It looks really cool. I was wondering, I was like, do they have merchandise? Because you were talking about things that I'm like,
well, they have everything.
I'm like, can I buy that online?
You can, like, before the podcast is done being filmed, can we have Herman Munster?
I know, to be delivered on its way. So anyway, I thought that was cool. I'll have to add I'll add the link for that on our show notes for people to take a look, especially if anyone's around. They have like a TripAdvisor page and everything because it's so amazing. So
I saw it. I was like, every place I'm going now, I'm always checking out indie bookstores.
Look for a bookstore. Yep.
And this is like a half mile from the Golden Nugget in downtown Las Vegas. And we walked over there and I walked in. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. I just was like, even Jerry, my husband, who's not a reader, he was like looking around like, oh,
this is a crazy. Cool. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, definitely recommend it.
So I obviously preparing for the holiday,
America.
We always have fireworks at my parents, so that's kind of a big thing.
That's fun though.
I spent last weekend in Illinois to help my sister with my niece and nephew who both play lacrosse. So that was kind of fun. I ate at a Portillo's for the first time.
Oh, okay.
I've never eaten at Portillo's.
Is that familiar to me?
Did it originate in New York or is it a Chicago thing?
It's a Chicago thing.
Chicago thing. And they have like, I don't know. It's hard to explain.
Chicago dogs
and stuff like that. Yeah. But you can get hamburgers. I had a really good salad and onion rings. And so I was like, that was a first going to a Chicago kind of thing. I'll have to send you guys the picture and maybe post it. I, for a moment, like thought that I saw Tess, Abby Jimenez's dog.
Okay.
There legit was a Tess dupe in Illinois. And then I was like, wait, but I'm not in Michigan. I'm in Illinois. Right. And she's in Michigan right now. Even it had the orange collar on.
Wow.
So I took a picture of it, like, to be like, it's a test dupe. Oh, my gosh.
That's funny.
So I also decided I'm going to start re-editing my books. I decided they should be back out in the world. And ironically, my cousin, like, tagged me on Facebook today about one of my books. She's like, I read this for my cousin 10 years ago or whatever. And I was like, ugh. They just need a little work. Maybe a new cover for the first one. So I'm kind of back into writing.
It's on my
writing.
Shelf behind me somewhere. I just saw it the other day and I was like, Sarah's book. It's over in this section.
I miss writing. I need to do it more.
Yeah. I was thinking about it too the other day. Like,
I know.
Do I want to get back into writing?
Well, I still have all our old files from you and I when we were writing together.
So many stories. We had our own ranch romance.
Yeah, it was Rose. It was Rose something, wasn't it?
I don't have to look. We had a lot
it's
done
still,
on it too.
We did. We would do alternating chapters.
Yeah. And we spent a lot of time sending pictures of ranches back and forth.
Yes.
rather than plotting the story out, we were like,
what if this? Yeah. I think we were more excited about the planning part than the actual writing part.
The actual writing part. That's what I always
I think most writers would tell you the same thing though.
Yeah.
I mean, you watch them on social media, they're always complaining about writing. So
yeah. Love to get to that point where if I could do it full time and be able to do so much research like that, I would be amazing.
That's where I have so many started books where I just got so bogged. I was writing one book at one time that was like a little bit of a historical fiction. And I got so hung up on how fast a horse could walk reasonably, like how many miles a day would be accurate. For a horse to travel in the 1800s, so no roads.
So that you're not,
So that, like they got, it has to be a reasonable amount of time. And it was like 13 miles. I was like, I lost so much time on that research that I never finished the book. I was like, never mind.
Just kidding.
It just amazes me sometimes because, you know, I teach government and talking about like the whole ratification of the Constitution and how that didn't take them 12 years to like write the damn thing and get the delegates there. Because if they only go 13 miles a day by horse,
that would be why. You
know? Yeah.
Well, that's why the Pony Express, we're going to get real sidetracked. That's why the Pony Express was such a crazy thing because they would run the horses and stop so they could travel faster.
So they could travel faster.
You had to have backup horses and like enough horses at the next stop so that they could just run full tilt, which is around here, some of the road trips I take, I pass like the Pony Express spots, so you can like actually stop and see
what the Pony Express stops were. Cool. I need to. That's on my list. Cool. That's now on my travel list. I need to see
on
that.
On my way up to Wyoming this last time, I went a different route. And yeah. I stopped and had lunch at a Pony Express stop. There's literally nothing there except this is where it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is super cool. Because you can imagine them riding between the, there's like some outcroppings and stuff. And they would run right down the middle of the valley.
Oh, gosh.
Which is now someone's like, you know, farmland.
Farmland or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Super cool.
I'm super excited, my last thing, because I got approved yesterday and I texted you guys for the new arc from E. Lockhart. We Fell Apart, which is book three in the We Were Liars series. It's not really going with We Were Liars, but it's the same kind of concept. Mm-hmm. And I devoured that show, totally binged it. It was so good. I think they did such a good job on it because I wasn't sure. Mm-hmm. Gave a few spoilers, not a few spoilers, a couple hints of Family of Liars. If you haven't read Family of Liars yet,
okay.
They hinted at it a little bit in the show, but still one of my favorite books. And I love to listen to it, even though I know the twist. I know it's going to happen. I still listen to it every time. And it is devastating every time. And I cried. I still cried. So if you haven't watched it or haven't read the book, watch the show. It's on Amazon Prime. It's so good. Yeah, that's it.
That's it. That's all.
Yeah.
On to books.
Yeah.
Who wants to say their books first? I think I went first last time, if I remember correctly. Yeah, because it was, I think Marianne went first the first time, then Sarah, and then I went first last time.
So does that mean I go
back
again?
Back to you, Marianne. If you want to.
Back to Marianne's time. Yeah.
That's fine. Okay, so my books for June. We All Live Here by Jojo Moyes. Family drama, found family. Some of the quirky characters like her dad who comes back and shows up at her doorstep after being gone. He's been in Hollywood. And I really liked her books because they feature women who are messy and make mistakes. They're not young and perfect. But then everything works out in the end. Another thing I like about her is like her genres are not always cut and dried. She wrote one book that's like a historical fiction about the bookwomen in Kentucky during the Great Depression. and she's British, you know, the Giver of Stars. Then there's the other one about the quadriplegic and the girl who's taking care of him. The woman is taking care of him. So
Me
I like
Before
her books.
You. Yes. Me Before You. And there's a whole series. She does like,
there's
like
three
four
of them,
books
yeah.
based on that.
Me After and that, You and
Me After
else.
You and Still Me, I think, is the third
yeah,
one.
I think so.
The
I love all her books.
The movie for that one was devastating, too.
Yeah, like, so, the book like, was, that too.
The book was, too, but I thought I was worried about it when they turned it into a movie because I was like, are they going to do it justice?
Right.
But I thought, like, the casting was spot on. And like
one of my other favorite horse books is by her. It's called The Horse Dancer.
Interesting.
And it's about a young girl riding dressage. Like, it's really
interesting,
but it's less about the horses than it is about the family. Cause like you said, she's so good about writing those characters and the family and the family drama. Mm-hmm. And it's great.
Yes. And they're not all cookie cutter, which I really like.
No, this one was the same. Yeah.
I read Gold Coast Dilemma by Nana Malone, who is definitely not a Nana. If you look at her social media, she's a beautiful woman. I heard about this one in a Christina Lauren event back in May. And one of them, either Christina or Lauren, had mentioned that they were reading it. And it's a very spicy romance featuring a main female character who's from Ghana. She's Ghanaian. She's Ghanaian American. She was born in Ghana, but raised in America. But it was interesting learning about the culture. Okay. And also eye-opening because as a white woman, you know, we all face microaggressions on a daily basis. But if you're Black and a woman, you have probably triple the microaggressions, and the main character calls them out as she sees them. And it was interesting to experience them on a daily basis. And it was kind of funny though, too, that the Ghanaian mother did not want the white man for her daughter. You know, it was, I like that part of it. Come Fly With Me by Camille DeMeo, which is a historical fiction about Pan Am stewardesses in the 1960s. I mean, they had to be weighed in. They were not allowed to be married.
That's crazy.
They had all of these, you know, rules and regulations, but the two women who are featured in the book both became stewardesses to escape their lives. One came from wealth and privilege and wanted to like strike out on her own. The other one had an abusive husband, and so she lied about being married and left to get away. And it was a good book. Some romance, lots of exotic locations. I read Binding 13 which will probably, I'll probably offend half of Book Talk and Sarah.
And Sarah.
Loved it.
I'm not surprised. I'm still on the wait list. Like,
knowing
I want to
your
be
personality.
Part of the club.
Yeah. I'm not surprised.
I didn't hate the book itself. Right. It was just so long and repetitive.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. The story itself, okay, fine. But it's like, okay, yes, we've heard about Johnny's nutrition regimen. Yes, yep. We've heard about Johnny's injury. Yes, we know he's large. Yes, we know he's up for, you know, a professional career.
Professional rugby player.
Okay, now we're going to hear about it again and again. And then we heard about 400 times about Shannon like the river being small and bullied. Mm-hmm. And if they cut 200 pages out of it, mm-hmm. I would have liked it a lot.
I mean, I guess it's YA, so I get it. Mm-hmm. It's the ending of it that got me because I was like, what happens? Like, but ended literally on a question, And I was like, what is the answer? Nope. Yeah.
By the time I got there, I was like, thank God it's over.
Said, I'm not surprised. When you were texting me about it, I was like, yeah, I kind of forgot about that stuff. That's not really, really Ma's cup of tea.
There was nothing in the book. I mean, I like the Irish culture.
The bantering is funny, too. Between those boys, the bantering's hilarious.
Yes. It just got so repetitive. Yeah. And I feel like if somebody had told her, hey, you need to cut 200 pages out of here, that would have been a much
better
book.
It's a long book, yeah.
Yes. And then I read Heartstrings by Ivy Fairbanks, the second book in her Love in Galway series. Liked it a whole lot. There's definitely some spice, not the main attraction. It's a second chance romance with characters that show up in her first book, Morbidly Yours, Cielo, and Aiden. Mm-hmm. And I think my favorite of the month was Daisy Jones and the Six.
Love that book.
I went in with low expectations because I did not like The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, and that was the only other Taylor Jenkins read I had read. I didn't like the ending of that one, but this was like, I don't know, they felt real. I mean, the way it was told and the numerous points of view.
Yeah.
And they felt like real people.
Yeah.
And like, what's going to happen? Is Billy going to stay sober? Is Daisy going to choke on a sandwich in her hotel room and die from all the drugs? I mean, it just felt so real and it kept me guessing. It wasn't predictable at all. So that was my favorite of the month.
That is also one of my favorite books. And I loved it, but then it was one of those books because I loved it so much that I got lost in the internet looking at all the things about it. Her inspirations for writing that book were Fleetwood Mac when they wrote Rumors.
Right.
And then also the Civil Wars.
Really?
Being newer. Because, you know, Civil Wars, they wrote that one album and it was brilliant. And then they got in a fight and disappeared and they're done and they broke up and they're amazing. So I, as a huge Fleetwood Mac fan, reading that, I found so many similarities.
Right.
Like, just, I could almost feel like it was them they were writing it about.
The cover looks so much like Stevie Nicks too. So
yes. Yeah.
You know, now, so
did
I definitely
watch the series?
No, not yet.
The series is very good, too.
Very good.
Yes.
Remember, and I guess we're going to give Sam Claflin, Claflin?
Claflin,
Sam, right? All the credit, because he was also in the movie adaptation I was talking about earlier.
Yeah.
He was the guy in both of them. He's very adaptable.
Yes, yes.
But yeah, that was really surprising to me, and I really love that one.
Nice.
And the thing about the TV show, too, is there's music. They actually wrote songs for it, so you kind of have music to go along with it.
Yeah, because it's the lyrics in the back of the book,
too. It's a really solid soundtrack.
Yeah. Not as good as Rumors, but pretty solid. I mean,
that's a really high bar to aim for.
It's kind of funny. I got my kids both into Fleetwood Mac. I love Fleetwood Mac. They're one of my favorites. Best concert, hands down, I've ever been to. But
I always joke
with them about the meme because they're both Taylor Swift fans. And I'm like, you know, everyone talks about, oh, Taylor Swift, she writes songs about her ex-boyfriends. And I'm like, you guys, Stevie Nicks not only wrote the songs, she made her ex-boyfriend sing them.
Right,
perform them on stage.
On stage, and like I see memes like that all the time. Like, she was such a badass. She was like, hey guys, I wrote this song. And I always
think,
what were the rest of the bandmates thinking? Like, Christina and me would probably be like, oh, what the fuck is this now? What is she bringing?
But it's a really good song. So,
yeah. And I do like what you said about this book, too. It's written like an interview.
Yes.
So it's more of a transcript, which was very different.
And then at the end, when you see who's doing the interview, and that had a whole other layer to it, too.
Yeah.
I might need to reread that.
Yeah, I hit the end, and I was like, oh, like it made me rethink.
Yes.
I wonder if the way it played out.
I wonder if the audio, I should pull up the audio. I wonder if it has multiple actors. Because if it read
I think they do.
That would be really cool. Because then you hear like a voice and
Yeah. Maybe I'll do that one soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, you know, I like to do audios of books I've already read. Because
I do too.
I like to do audios of books I've already read.
I do too.
Because if I get a little distracted, I'm not totally lost.
Yep. Exactly. Yep. But then you also pick up things you missed the first time through.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Who's up next?
I can go next.
Okay.
Thank God I didn't go first because I was like,
I feel like you were like, I still got to make this up.
I know. I feel like I'm missing something. I'm like, I read something that I just recently, what did I, and I realized, oh yeah, I totally forgot one of my big ones. Okay. I read Summer in the City, obviously, Alex Astor, because it was our book club. And then I read my second Olivia Dade. I talked about this a little last month, 40 Love. Mm-hmm. Love this one too. Again, older character. I think she turns 40 on vacation and she's very busty, very curvy. The beginning is funny. She loses her bikini top in the water, but she's too small to just cover herself. So she ends up finding this guy and literally jumps on his back because there's kids coming. She doesn't want to
save me.
But the things that she calls like her boobs or whatever, like she's like, no one can see the girls. No one wants to see these jugs, you know, that kind of thing. And she ends up finding out later that he is a tennis pro or the tennis teacher at this resort, formerly a Swedish tennis player.
Ooh, who, fancy.
And but he's 10 years younger than her. So we also have the age gap going on,
nice.
Which she struggles with. But I love Tess is the main character of this. And I loved her because I think we talked a little bit with Olivia Dade books. One of the things I like about her, if a woman wants something, she goes for it in her books. She doesn't wait for the guy. So there's times where she's like, you know what? I want to go seek him out. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to be the one to put the moves on him first instead of, oh, I'm a girl and I won't do anything until he. Yeah. And so I love that about her. She's like, no, I'm in charge of myself and my own feelings and I could do this. So I listened to The Listeners by Maggie Stiefvater, her newest one, right when it came out. I couldn't wait to buy it and I had a credit.
I haven't gotten it yet.
God,
I saw it at the writer's block.
Did you?
I would not have been able to resist.
I swear this woman could write the phone book and I would read
it. Absolutely.
Yeah. 100%.
Because I feel like her books, I don't want this to sound bad, but it's like she writes about nothing and it's amazing. You get done with a book and everyone's like, what was it about? And you're like, I can't explain it, but it's so good.
Yes.
So this one takes place at a place called the Avalon Hotel and Spa, right at the midst of World War II. You're like a week... couple months after Pearl Harbor.
Okay.
So you have all these rich socialites going to this Avalon Hotel and Spa, which also has spring waters. But the spring water is kind of magical because, of course, it's
Maggie. Of course
Maggie, it is. So she's got to write a little bit magical, but not like crazy, but healing powers kind of thing. But also the water talks to her. She feels like she
can
listen to the water.
How do we get to these hot springs? Where do I find them for myself?
I know, seriously. And it's about the main character, June Porter. She is like the manager of this hotel, which would have been crazy in the 1940s. But what happens, and apparently this is loosely based on historical events that did happen, which is very Maggie as well. The United States commandeered many of these luxury hotels right after Pearl Harbor for all these international diplomats that could be questionable. Like, you're a rich diplomat from Germany, but we're at war with you now. So,
please go stay at
this hotel. It's not like a prisoner camp, but it was like, we're going to bring you all here until we decide what to do with you. And it wasn't just German and Japanese, it was international in general. So she brings a lot of the truth into that. And she talks about it at the end, her afterword, about several of the hotels. This was very common in West Virginia, where she lives. And so it had a little bit of truth to it, but also a little bit of magic and a little bit of history. And as always, it was beautiful. Like, I just feel like I get lost in how she writes. And I only listened to it. I'm excited to 6 months from now buy it. I like to buy from her bookstore because then I get it signed and get it shipped to me.
Yep.
And then I'll reread it, you know. So beautiful book, though. Loved it. I read Cock Down the Block by Amy Award per Kit. Oh, my. You undersold this book. This book was
so good, right?
Funny. It's so funny.
It's a whole series set here in Colorado.
I am ready to go now. I love her name. I love their name's Beatrix, but she goes by Trixie instead. And then the whole football thing is hilarious. It's just their banter, their conversations.
It's so
her good. Personality is absolutely hilarious. I can't even describe it more than that. And what was the, didn't I text you guys something about like the guy staring at her and she's like, I think I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's like, that's just kind of how the writing is. Like, she's like, he's looking at me and I'm thinking, that's it. I'm pregnant. My ovaries have exploded. And you're like, it's just super funny banter. And yeah, the other, they're all coming up now on my Audible account. What, there's one, oh, the wiener down the block, I think is the next one with
the
wiener dog, or is it the pussy one? There's like also the pookie down the street. Like, they're all animals.
So the first one that I read, it's the wiener across the way.
Wiener across the way, that's the pussy next door.
The anaconda downstairs.
Yes.
The new one is the jackass in class. That's like the youngest brother.
Yes, that's the new one.
The younger brother. But the first one I read was just a offhand TikTok like recommendation for Honkers Under the Holly, which is like the Christmas one. It starts at like a German beer fest with like a loose goose. Like, it's like the funniest shit I've ever read.
And that's the thing. It's such a play on words. And it's so, I mean, the titles are not indicative of what it. And it's funny too, because they're all kind of censored. Like the cover, Cock Down the Block, I think the O is a rooster.
It's a rooster.
So it makes it look like you're, I'm saying something bad. So
the N in totally wiener funny. Is a wiener dog.
Yeah. It's so funny though. Again, curvy women, strong women. And I mean, things like her, Beatrix's mom is a former porn star.
Yes.
Okay.
Like curvy woman porn star. So she's like very open about talking about sex and things like that with her kids. And like, are you getting your needs met and stuff? Yeah. And you're like, what did she just say?
I've read several of her books, but is this the one where she's got like the laundry basket of like vibrators in her closet that she just doesn't want Chris to find?
That her mom sends her from every country she visits. She just like, I have to send my daughter a sex toy because you never know. Like, it's just.
I'm in India right now.
Yes. It's so.
She can't get this in America.
Right. It's like the weirdest, but so tongue-in-cheek and funny. And it was great. So
and the rooster is Luke Skywalker, right?
Oh yeah, that's the and one of the chickens was Kylo Hen, which is my other favorite. And Princess Leia, like L-A-Y. It made me want chickens just so I can, pick
give
a book.
Give them good names.
Pick a book and name them after all the characters in Lord of the Rings or something like that.
Yes. 100%.
Yeah. So then
I have a farm someday. Every animal is going to be named
My gosh.
Like on our future ranch that we build to go with our book we're going to write.
Yes. I'm going to buy
all
a horse.
Are gonna have
horse someday
names.
Is going to be named Gatsby. I've already decided that.
That's a great name for a horse. Yeah.
And I need one named Core. If I ever get a big red horse, his name is going to be Core. So
for sure.
Yeah. I read Keeping 13, which is the second in the Boys of Tommen book. Not as good as the first. Still fun. It does tend to drag a little bit at times. I'll keep going through the series mostly because she tends to write these in two books. Take care of Johnny and Shannon's characters. So their story essentially ends. So then the next...
Half a book could have done it.
Yeah. But the next book is about Joey. Joey and... oh my gosh, what was his girlfriend's name?
Don't even remember.
Aoife. Aoife. Joey's her brother. Joey and Aoife. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I liked him. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm interested because I like the world she's built.
Yeah.
And the characters and the school and so...
But are there any adults at the school? I mean, that's part
apparently
of what
not.
Because, I mean...
You don't need adults at a school.
Some of the bullying is pretty bad, too. Yes. Some of that bullying is like, holy
crap. And it's like, nobody does anything about it. They curse all the time. They leave school whenever they want to.
Yeah.
Like, do they have a... I mean, this is supposed to be like this expensive private school.
But part of me is like, I don't know. Maybe school's like that in Ireland. I don't know.
Listen, I'm not going to lie. When we moved to Colorado and we went and visited the high schools, it's completely open campus. They come and go as they please.
Yeah,
I was like, are we for real? Yeah. coming from a school in Syracuse that had metal detectors and like nobody left at all. Like,
and in,
I was
in
like,
Colorado,
so they can just
where
go.
Columbine happened? That's crazy.
Yeah, that is kind of crazy.
They can just go.
My gosh.
So they make their own schedules. It's like a community college style. But for high school, I was like, okay, cool.
Maybe because of Columbine, that's why they do it. Less people on camp,
but then you can't control who's coming in.
You can't,
Well, if you're, if you still have to like check in at the office. So you have to like use your like student ID, but you don't have to, like, I don't have to check more or you don't have to check your kid out. Like, she could just go.
Yeah.
If she's done for the day, she could just go. And then she just comes back in after lunch or whatever. Yeah. I was surprised, but I was like, I guess that is a thing that happens some places.
That's crazy. That's crazy. I finally read Sunrise on the Reaping, Suzanne Collins. I kind of forgot about it a little bit because my daughter read it and then I put it on my shelf with my other books and it wasn't in my TBR. And she's like, are you ever going to read it? And I finally read it. It was so good. Like I don't even know what to say.
Before we started this podcast, and I'm tempted to reread it again just so I can like talk about it again.
The ending, it was weird. I didn't feel like the games were as detailed as the other books, mostly because I won't give it away why, but you're just so in Haymitch's head that it's a little different.
And but, it makes you think about all the other books and movies.
Yes.
So differently.
Yes. Because you get Haymitch's whole story, why he is the way he is. Why he drinks like that, why he talks. The end is devastating. I mean, devastating.
I was going to try and come up with another word to like second that, but that's really the correct
word. And it's just fuck President Snow. Like,
yes.
Is 100%. He is such an asshole. I like the character tie-ins because you're talking generations in District 12. So you actually get a glimpse of Katniss's parents before Katniss is born. Kind of thing, because they're all, you know, related, or they'll mention a last name and you're like, oh, I know they must be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Things like that. So great book.
The casting for the movie too
is going to be really good.
It's going to be rough. It's going to be a rough watch because I'm blanking on the characters' names and I don't really want to give too much away, but
I know
they're babies.
Yeah.
They're babies.
They're young.
These actors that have been cast.
The actor who's playing Haymitch, Elena told me, is the guy who plays Johnny in We Were Liars.
Oh, okay.
On the TV show. So she was like, how was he? I want to know. He plays Haymitch. And I was like, oh yeah, he'll be a good Haymitch. So, and then I picked up The Night and the Moth, Rachel Gillig's new book. She's the one who wrote the One Dark Window series. So beautifully written. God, her writing is so beautiful. She writes fantasy. It's very gothic. About these, they're at a cathedral and she's a diviner. The main character's a diviner. Mm-hmm. Her name is Diviner. They don't have names and they wear gossamer over their eyes and they basically drown in this spring. Every time somebody wants their future told, they want to know what the omens say. So she does this crazy thing of creating this world, this omens. And then she ends up she reads an omen for a king and he doesn't like it. Her years are up. It's hard to explain without giving one. Mm-hmm. And she ends up meeting this knight. His name is Rory. And there's a gargoyle in it. It is just like, but holy cow, the ending. I was listening to it and it got to like the last word or last line. And then it was like, this is an audible. And I was like, wait, that was the end? So I literally had to rewind going, what? That's the end. There has to be a book too, because it is a cliffhanger. Yeah. But beautifully written. I just, the way she describes things, the way her words are, it's very formal, very beautiful for fantasy. And then the last one, I'm not quite done with it yet, but I'm cheating a little and claiming it to talk about it. I read The Anxious Generation by Jonathan Haidt for school. It's nonfiction about how the great rewiring of childhood is causing an epidemic of mental illness. So it's about mental illness and children's use of social media and internet.
Interesting.
And it is absolutely terrifying. Because it's so true. And I felt like I was read chapters. I've been reading it for a while. Yeah. I finally was finishing it. I have just a little bit left that I'll finish. And as a parent, just thinking, did I do this to my kids?
Right.
Did I allow this? I didn't think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of science. It's really heavy because he's got graphs and everything here talking about how childhood has changed from a childhood of play when everyone was outside to now kids don't play with their friends anymore. They sit inside and they're not social. And what is this doing to their brain? It's a very, very good book.
Really our big impetus for moving out of New York because there was no like third spaces for kids to go. There was nowhere for them to go except for online. And then out here, there's parks everywhere. And kids are a lot like the first time I discovered that you didn't have to have a chaperone to go to the mall here. Because in New York, you do. You have to have an adult with you if you're under 18. Which like I would chaperone tons of kids to the mall just so they could go.
Just so they could go.
It was dangerous. It was safer to be online. And out here, it's completely the opposite.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
And it's basically, I mean, Ma, your kids are old enough to be beyond it, but they talk about it really starts in 2010. Mm-hmm. Kids born right around 2010. One of mine was 2007 and the other was 2010. And even they said throwing COVID in there hurt a little bit. I mean, it did hurt. Because it helped them because they were able to stay social, when they couldn't be together physically. You know, there's some terrifying things about there, the things they can access. I let my girls have Instagram because I thought that was the safer one. Uh-huh. That was their first social media. Absolutely not. I wish I would have. I'm reading it going, oh my God, they're like, Instagram's one of the worst because of the images. The images that girls see, and girls are hit harder than boys and all this. Right. Like I said, it's just, it's terrifying. And so we read
That's
it
interesting.
As a staff.
Yeah. Because yeah. I've heard from like my students, like my middle schoolers, when I was doing middle school, that Twitter is actually the one that would hit them the most with uncensored pornography.
Yes. Yeah.
Because you, if you, and you don't even have to be like searching for it. I had one kid that wasn't quite sure how it ended up, but they were looking
right,
for
but
movies, they were searching for like certain actors in movies or whatever, like trying to find their accounts, but then porn that was like parodies of those movies started targeting them, and it's completely uncensored. The user has to censor, or not the user, like the person posting it has to censor it. So they would be scrolling through Twitter and it would be like
just there,
just on their feed, not even sent to them. So it's not like someone was contacting them,
right?
It was there.
Was just there for them.
I was surprised about that at the time. I was like, okay, like I'm on Twitter all the time. I don't see that, but clearly my book Twitter.
But I'll say our algorithms. And they talked about that too. The last chapter, the algorithms. It's really these social media companies too. They take these algorithms and say somebody, a teenager, does some sort of search for mental health because they're into mental health. They're interested. They'll start showing them other people's accounts with negative mental health. Yeah. So it's like, whoa. So, you know, those algorithms, they said it was fine until we had algorithms. And now they look at what you look at. And then that gets kids. They don't know that they're going down a rabbit hole. And so they just keep looking. And then that changes their algorithm and you get more and more. Or a kid might start out being interested in fitness and health, but it quickly turns into anorexia and skinnier body and all that. Very unhealthy. So it's, it makes me even as an adult kind of want to go, whoa, I need to back off. Excellent book, especially for anyone, I feel like, having kids or teaching. That's why we read it as teachers, to kind of get an idea of our kids. So very good. He's a really good researcher too. I can't remember. He wrote another one that is, my dad had read and he said it was really, really good as well. He's just, it's not one of those, oh, he puts a bunch of facts in. No, he's pretty legit. He's got some legit things to say. So that's my month. Kind of heavy.
Ending on a heavy note.
Heavy notes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a pretty decent reading month, but I think I was saying earlier, like when it came down to like which books, like when I had to think about what books I read, I had a really hard time remembering what I had read. Like this month was so busy. Yeah. And then when I went back and looked at my Goodreads list, I was like, oh, there's like a lot of good books in here. But I was like nothing stuck in my head. It was a rough month for me personally. But I read a bunch of ARCs from Edelweiss and Book Sirens this month. So Tell Me Something Good by Court Stevens is outside of my usual genre, but it looked so good on Edelweiss that I grabbed it. And it's a small town in Kentucky, a lot of secrets. So you're never quite sure like whose secret is whose and how they tie together. And there's one accidental death. And once this person dies, all of these secrets start like bubbling up to the surface. And I really liked the kind of ripple effect of like this one, or butterfly effect, however you want to look at it. Right. One thing happens and it just spreads across the town. And people are finding out shit that they had no idea was going on. And it was really well written. And then I read All's Fair in Love and Pickleball by Kate Spencer. This is just a super fun, like enemies to lovers, grumpy sunshine. It's like a sports romance. It had really, really good banter. And I grabbed it because for whatever reason, like the fact that a whole book being set around pickleball was just funny to me. Like just the idea of like, we have a whole, because usually you get a sports romance and it's like football or like, nope. Pickleball. And the enemies to lovers part is the two main characters hate each other's guts, but for reasons that I'm not going to give away, have to be each other's partners.
Of course.
So they have to work together, which like totally like you see where it's headed, but it's so funny. Like it's so well written. And then I read Slow Burn Summer by Josie Silver. I like this one because it had a lot of twists and turns and like double crosses, not necessarily in a negative way, but like people trying like a madcap way. People trying to keep track of like, what story have I told this person over here? And the basic premise is that there's an author who has a press tour, but he's really like he does not want to be the center of attention. So
can't
they
tell me
hire,
who it is. I'm only halfway through.
I'm not gonna tell you.
But I'm pretty sure I know. But
they hire, it is, once you see it, you're like, oh yeah, I could see how that was. So they hire a ex-soap actress to play the part of the author. And this person has to do all of the press. So they're doing interviews. They're doing autograph signings. They're doing press appearances. And the whole thing's an act. And the funniest part was, for me at least, like, you know where it's going to end up. We know it's a rom-com. We know where it's going. And these characters are trying so desperately to stay on script. And it's just a lost cause. To get to where we know we want to be, they have to just like totally fail at the task at hand. And it's so funny. And then I read a more serious book, which was Between Dreams and Darkness by Desiree Peralta. And this is, I really just went with the teaser for it.
I'm reading about it now and I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, the teaser, I don't think I could say it better necessarily than the teaser does. It's a really heartbreaking book, but it's, I like when, I don't love to read sad stories, but I do like when they're like laced with that current of hope that like there is something to keep going for. And the tagline is, happiness isn't about how long it lasts. It's about having the bravery to feel it, even when it feels like the world is ending. And this is about a character who's kind of end of life and is okay with it. Like they've made peace with it.
It only has 64 ratings so far, but it's 4.3 in Goodreads.
Yeah.
It's pretty high
It's a really, really good book. And then books that were already out, I listened to The Moon-Blooded Breeding Clinic by Sam Nastasa, part of my favorite series, the Cambric Creek series. This one was not my favorite book in the series. It was still really good, but I'm not a major fan of books that are centered around like pregnancy. That's just not really my jam. Yeah. But I didn't want to skip a book in the series because they all sort of connect.
Is this vampires? This one it vampires? Is. Yeah.
So that's vampires have the like magic sperm. We know it's diamonds. We learned that when we were Twilight moms. So if you're someone who has some infertility problems, because in this world, there's like interracial relationships, for lack of a better way to put it, between different species. So like a werewolf could marry a human or whatnot. So in this book, they make a point that anyone can marry anyone, but that doesn't mean that you are compatible for having children.
Yeah. Okay.
Which fair. Mm-hmm. And but their main character has had several failed fertility treatments. She's obsessed with becoming pregnant. Mm-hmm. Like it's kind of like a fixation at this point. Her husband leaves, but she still just wants to be a mom. And her best friend gets pregnant using this clinic where if you go, or it's not vampires, sorry. It's werewolves. I don't know.
Is it werewolves? Okay.
Vampires. Vampires is the next one I'm reading. Werewolves.
I knew. Sorry. It was me too. Cause I knew there was some. Yeah. I can't remember which.
So if you sign up for this clinic and if you go in when the werewolf is like turning, it's like magic. Like you have a much better chance of getting pregnant. But what I really did like about this book, it was not my favorite, but what I liked about it is the way it ended is not the way you would think the happy ever after would go for a book like this. She has some big realizations about herself and why she's fixated on becoming pregnant and whether that's actually what she wants out of life. I appreciated that turn of events.
Yeah.
And then I read Morbidly Yours by Ivy Fairbanks. And I'm going to say zero things about that because that's our next book that we're talking about. And then I read Payback's a Witch by Lana Harper. It's the first in a series. I've had this book in my car for months and it's just never felt like the right moment to read it. But I read it while I was up in Wyoming. It's got a bit of a like Triwizard tournament feel to it. This is a magic town. It's like the hub of all magic. So like one family controls the magic. There's four families involved and every so many years they compete to see which family is going to be the one in charge. And it's all adults. So Triwizard tournament vibes.
Nice.
But 3/4 of the players hate the fourth guy. He's like a total dick. Like he's just a player. He's broken everybody's hearts. And they're like, his family always wins. And they're like, not this year, you fucker. And they team up to like beat this guy. And this was another one where I thought it was going was not the way it ended. Because I was kind of conditioned for the whole redemption arc of kind of like the guy that hurt it. Like he's going to learn a lesson.
Uh-huh.
And he does a little bit, but there's a twist in there towards the end where I was like, oh shit, like, okay. And like girl power, like good for you guys. And then I read Done and Dusted by Lila Sage. I'm going to talk about this one at length later. So I'm just going to say this is a really good small town ranch romance.
Okay.
Like she nailed it like out of the park.
Is this book one in that series?
Book one in the series.
Yeah, and that's on my list. Another good it's, cowboy.
You need to get it, like, immediately. It's so good.
I love it.
And then this is my unhinged wreck for the month. It was wrecked by Lisa Marie Payton over on TikTok. And she said that I had to read Transcontinental Breakfast by Thundertail Slapbush.
That is the best name ever.
Sarah said earlier, sounds like a porn, and that's what it is. It is straight up sentient food porn. And I don't think there's any great way to explain this book, but I'm going to give it a go. So we have our main characters, and in this world, it is humanoid food, and everyone is assigned a meal at birth. So Marianne, you might be lunch, and Sarah, you might be dinner, and maybe I'm breakfast. Who knows, right? And every day, your outward appearance can change based on your mood. So if you're really sad, maybe you're like eggs over easy, but a little runny. You're not having a great day. But when you're having a really good day in your breakfast, maybe you're like a chocolate croissant with almonds sprinkled on top and like powder because you're like really feeling yourself and you're looking
good. So we're not gender fluid, we're food fluid.
Food fluid. Yes. Yeah, but there also are genders. And there's two main characters. They both own kind of restaurants. The one main character owns a restaurant called The Pig and the Poke.
But wouldn't a restaurant be cannibalism?
Yep. Just go with it.
Okay.
She wants it to be more international cuisine, but people in town are like stuck in their ways. They just want like greasy diner food. And there's another guy that she likes. And I don't remember anybody's names in this book because just food. But he is transgender in a very traditional sense. So from female to male, nobody cares about that. Like in this world, not a problem. Big problem because homeboy went from being like a breakfast to being a dinner. And you do not change meals. Your meal designation is your meal designation. So that's a big problem for a lot of people. And there's like a whole plot line about like gender and identity, which I was like, oh, we're having like a real point here. But more than that, it is some of the most unhinged, hysterically written smut that I have ever experienced in my entire life. And I should have pulled this up earlier. I took so many screenshots to send to my friends, like my friends that also read monster romance, because I was like, am I reading what I think I'm reading? Are you ready? Here we go. And for those of you listening, this is the part where I said earlier, we're adults who say adult things, because it's about
to get there. It's going to get there.
I knew something like this would happen. So someone's name's Nat. Nat meets my eyes as she takes my frosting nozzle in her mouth and fondles my aching acai berries. In one smooth motion, he flips me over. I gasp as he fumbles with his sausage, uttering my folds with his free hand. Then his turgid pig slides into my willing blanket right where it belongs.
Oh my gosh.
And it is pages. Wow. And it is easily the funniest book I have ever, ever read. I imagine dousing her Cheerios with my whole milk and drenching her French toast in my heavy cream.
It's literally foodborne. That's literally foodborne.
It's so funny. It's so funny.
Of course, I had to pull this up on Goodreads as you were talking. 4.3.
Are you looking at the cover?
Yes. But did you ever read? So she's got the whole, like, this is what it's about. But then she has a little, I'm assuming it's a she that wrote it.
I have no idea. Undertale's content could be anyone.
The content, she has a content note, and it says, very little about this book is serious, dear reader. Mm-hmm. But there is one thing that I want to make very clear. Homestyle's identity as a transgender individual is not the punchline. The absurdity of gender gatekeeping absolutely is.
Yes.
So I love that it's kind of a hidden. Yeah. And it even says, then she goes on and says, well, let's get this out of the way. If you're in favor of the laws being bandied about right now or have anything negative to say about the trans and non-binary communities as a whole, this book is not for you.
Yep.
Nice.
It is.
So I kind of love that it's written tongue in cheek in a way, but also we're not making fun of it. We're just, it's not a punchline. We're saying that this happens.
Yes, it is. It's so funny the way it's written. And in the book, there's like, it's not at the beginning, there's a line that just says, this is why a book like this is important. If I don't know what meal you are, how will I know how to eat you? Which is a funny line. But it's also to the point of like, you get to identify however you want.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, friend. Like, you are making points and also talking about buttering sausages all yeah. in one fell swoop.
The last line in her little content thing, I love this too. All my love to the breakfasts, lunches, and dinners out there, and to all the various and sundry snacks in between. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
It makes me want to read it now.
You should read it solely to be like, what the fuck did Kit give yes. me this time?
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. Kindle Unlimited.
Yeah.
Get on it.
I see that it's free on Kindle Unlimited.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so good. So hey, that was my last book I was going to talk about.
Wow.
Hey, going back to Kate Spencer, All's Fair in Love and Pickleball, she wrote a book called In a New York Minute. Has a yes, really funny meet cute in it. Have you read that?
Yes.
What's that?
Yeah.
Yeah, with the subway. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, and I read another book, a summer book by her. I didn't know about this one. So I'll have to check it out.
I can't remember when this one comes out.
Oh, it's not out yet?
I read it as an arc, but okay. I read it at the beginning of the month. So it might have already come out.
Okay.
I just can't remember if it was June or July.
I just put a hold on it at the library, but now I'm looking on NetGalley, see if it's still there.
Also, Kit, if you did not know this, as I was glancing over the CM Nacosta books, there is free on Kindle Unlimited right now, Cambric Creek 1.5, a blue ribbon romance, and it is Morning Glory Milking Farm through Rourke's point of view.
Well, I'm going to get that.
I know. For sure. I think it's just like a novella. Like it's short, but I'm like, oh no, it's 266 pages. So
it's Midnight Sun.
Midnight
Sun for the Minotaur people.
But it's called a blue
ribbon. Minotaur Sun.
A blue ribbon romance.
Which is so funny because obviously we know what like blue ribbon cattle.
Exactly. That's the funny. The picture is kind of funny on there too. It's a little less. It's not like the other ones, but so fun. So fun. Somebody in my Michigan group on Facebook was looking for monster romances too. And somebody else suggested that book. And I was like, oh my God, I read it. It's so good.
You're like, yes. There's also, I'm scrolling through now, there's Cambric Creek After Dark.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. It looks like All's Fair and Love and Pickleball came out on the 3rd.
Okay. And yeah, it was one of the first books I posted about this month.
The 3rd of June. Yeah. So,
So I'm going to have to recommend that to all my pickleball friends that love to play pickleball. I don't know how to play yet. I'm not old enough, I guess, to learn how. I don't know.
It's just there's a rule there somewhere. Who knows?
I don't know. I just feel like all my older friends are all like, play pickleball. It's so fun. You wear cute outfits. And I'm like, okay. I don't need another sport, but I don't need another thing to pay for.
Seriously.
All right. Are we ready for our questions?
Sure. Let's go for it.
Okay. What character would you want to go on a road trip with?
Who's going first? Me?
Sure.
I can go first. I picked Luke Brooks from Done and Dusted. Like this wasn't even, I've never answered a question so fast in my life. He's the cowboy in Done and Dusted. And he's like, he was a definite bad boy back in the day. And now he's just like a sweetheart cowboy kind of guy, owns a bar. But he takes Emmy on several like little mini road trips. And he's like the dirt road, bench seat, like good country music and always has a snack. Like when she goes to get in the car, he's like, here's your breakfast.
Yeah,
I'm done. Like you're going to take me somewhere and feed me in. And he's big on finding all the good like swimming holes or like fun shit to do out and about. And I would like that. That's why I went with Luke from Done and Dusted. How about you, Marianne?
That was a hard one for me. The only one I could think of was Aiden from Heartstrings. He makes an appearance in Morbidly Yours. He's a musician, so I figured he'd have good Irish music to listen to because it sounds like his music from book two is kind of a combination of like traditional Irish music and like rock and roll kind of. So I think I would like the music choices
that's
he
good
had.
Road trip music.
Yeah, that's true. Sure. He'd have a good road trip.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think an interesting character was June Porter from The Listeners. Mm-hmm. So she has these dachshunds too that she has, like somebody left them at the hotel and they have adopted her and they follow her around and they're really picky. But June is a very interesting person. She just has lived a lot of life before. She came from nothing, works at this hotel for the family, basically treated like one of the family. But she also has this kind of magical thing. I just feel like she's probably someone I could sit and talk to for a while. Plus dogs, you know.
Plus dogs.
Yep,
for sure.
Yep, kind of fun. So, all right. Any places we would like to go in these books?
Marianne, what you think?
Okay, so of course Ireland, always Ireland.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But also Come Fly With Me, like some of the places that Pan Am flew to, because I didn't even realize this, is they only flew internationally. They didn't fly.
Oh, interesting.
Domestically. I mean, they had like some, like, I forget what they called it, like where they would move crew from one airport to another, but they only flew internationally. Like some of the places they went were like in the South Pacific and Hawaii. I've been to Hawaii, but I've been wanting to go back there. Some of the places in Come Fly With Me and Ghana. Okay. So one interesting thing from that book, Gold Coast Dilemma, and learning about like the Ghanaian culture. And the one thing that was brought up in the book is that Africa is a big place and there's 54 different countries. And, you know, the media tends to lump it all together. So all we think about when we hear about Africa is like Ethiopian children starving. And there's so much more to it. And like the characters in this book are very wealthy, which none of us associate with Africa. So I would like to go to Ghana and learn more about like the culture there and see the things there are to see. So that would be me. What about you? Who didn't go yet? Sarah, did you
go? Neither of us have gone yet.
Neither of us have gone. I put on here too. I feel like I pick Ireland or Italy all the time because they're two of my favorite places. So despite reading a book about Ireland, I actually, one of the things I decided is West Virginia. I would love, Maggie Stiefvater makes West Virginia sound so beautiful and not like, this is terrible, but a lot of people, I think of West Virginia is like backwater only because of, oh gosh, what's the book? Yeah. And the book, The Glass Castle. Glass Castle and Demon Copperhead. Like it's, yeah. But Maggie paints it as magical. And so I want to see, I want to see Maggie's West Virginia, basically, is what I was thinking when I was like, the way she described, like you said, the spa, how she described all that sounded amazing. So that's what I think I would go. What about?
I picked Thistle Grove from Payback's a Witch. So a completely fictional place, but it's the epicenter of magic, but it's like a magical town that knows its place in like the cultural lexicon. So there's very real magic, but then they've also built these kind of, I don't want to say tourist traps because they're not quite that kitschy, but there's like a bookstore that has all sorts of magical books in it. There's an orchard where you can go pick different fruits and stuff, but they're kind of like imbued with magic. So it's, and they have like what seems to be like insanely fun festivals and events like around Halloween. And I think going to a town like that where it's kind of knows kind of what tourists are looking for, but it's built on real magic would be really fun.
That would be really cool. That sounds kind of
fun. That does sound
fun. Yeah.
So,
and I love Halloween. So anything with like Halloween, exactly. I'd be like all over. Yeah.
If we were able to travel even, you know, imaginary places, that's the one I would go.
Oh my gosh. For this month. For sure. For sure.
All right. It's dinner time. What character would you want to have dinner with, Sarah?
Oh gosh, I knew you were going to make me go first. Who would I want to have dinner with? Let me scroll up to my...
We can switch around. I forgot you didn't have anything
written down. Well, I feel like I love the characters in The Cock Down the Block so much. Beatrix and Chris. The whole game night.
That's what I picked when I read that one.
That's what you picked. And I was like, I feel like it's the same thing, but I really think that's probably who it would be. They just seem so fun. Sadly, I'm not picking anyone from Sunrise on the Reaping because I do not want to go to District 12. Nope. I do not want to go on a road trip because that probably means we're going into the arena.
Yeah.
And I don't really want to. They don't eat a lot there. So I'd probably the Kingmans, Chris Kingman.
Yeah.
From Cock Down the Block. That whole family. I'm looking forward to reading more books about the whole family. They just seem really, really interesting. So Marianne, what do you think?
I know I'm going to mess up her name. Is Ofosua from Gold Coast Dilemma. They talk about Ghanaian food in the book.
Ooh.
Through the whole, and Ghanaian restaurants in New York. So, I mean, yeah, because
immediately
you're going to New York, so new food goal. You can try it when you're in New York. Yeah,
The book takes place in New York, even though she was born in America, raised in Ghana, and then like her family lives in they have houses. They're so wealthy; they have houses like in both places.
Yeah,
And so they're talking about all sorts of Ghanaian food, which sounded really delicious. I feel like there was plantains in something, and it's been a couple of weeks since I read it, so I don't remember the details of the food. I probably should have written it down, but it just sounded very delicious. Uh-huh. I mean, not again to like lump all of Africa into one big conglomerate, but I had Ethiopian food for the first time last summer.
Yeah.
And really enjoyed that. So I would assume some of the flavors probably traveled across borders, kind of just like, you know, just kind of how like South American foods all have, like a lot of times they have similar spice levels and things like that. So spice profiles, that's the word I was thinking about.
Profile, I like that word.
Yes.
Kit, what's your answer? Who would you have dinner with?
As always, taking questions as serious as humanly possible. I'm going to go left field and go with a character that I did not talk about earlier from Transcontinental Breakfast. His name is Leftovers.
Leftovers always taste better.
Yeah. Moving in an oddly cannibalistic direction, it's fine. Leftovers is Homestyle's roommate. He is the chillest guy in this book, and he's hysterical, but he seems to know all the best places. Like, he's the entire time is like, yo, we should just go get this food. I feel like he's probably high as a kite. I don't know if sentient food gets high, but it feels like someone who would like definitely know where to get like great, like Greasy Spoon Diner, maybe at the Pig and the Poke. Who knows? There may be a better diner, but I'm going with Leftovers from Transcontinental Breakfast.
What a great name for a restaurant. Like, that's kind of good and bad.
Good and depending on how you're reading it. So that's my choice is Leftovers.
All right. So top book recommendations, what we've read and why we would recommend this.
Okay. Who's going first?
I can go first.
Okay.
Sadly, it is not Transcontinental Breakfast, which I did love. But Done and Dusted is my top read for this month. That is my small town ranch romance. And it is really just a well-written kind of like summer romance book. But the reason why I really, really loved it, the main character, Emmy, is she moves back home after being gone for a really long time. She's a top bull rider on the rodeo circuit. Yeah. And she makes one little mistake and has a really bad wreck. And she's not necessarily super injured physically, but mentally she cannot get back in the game. And she just can't get back on the horse. She's afraid to run barrels. And I had an accident many, many years ago. And at the time I was riding barrels, I was planning on going to college for rodeo. Uh-huh. And I had an accident and I could not get back on a horse for 7 years without having an anxiety attack. Couldn't do it. I tried multiple times. Every time I fully panic and have to get off. And you don't often see that written about realistically very well. And it's done so well in this book. And thank God Emmy moves past it way faster than I did. Otherwise, this would be a very long and boring book. Uh-huh. But she's able to get past it with the help of Luke, who is her older brother's best friend. So kind of out of bounds for her, but he's also the lesson teacher on the ranch and is like, I can see something's wrong. You don't have to tell me what it is, but let me help you. Like, do you want to just do some like basic lessons on a dead broke horse? Uh-huh. And it's exactly what she needed. She didn't need people asking her why she was afraid. She didn't need people telling her there was nothing to be afraid of. Those were all things that were said to me that I was like, you're not helping. Like, you're making it worse. I know how to ride. I know I can do this, but I can't.
Yeah.
So Luke was like the perfect guy to help Emmy get through it. And then aside from that, it's a really fun family on the ranch. There's some hysterical moments. Her best friend is like the best friend we all wish that you have. Like, so she'll go punch a guy for you if she needs to.
Yep.
So there's a lot in this book that I really love. And then the romance is like top. Like, good. Emmy and Luke's romance is so spot on. But I really like personally appreciated how well the anxiety portion of it was written.
That's cool. That's cool when you make that connection.
Yeah.
How about you, Marianne?
I would say Daisy Jones and the Six. Uh-huh. Because it kept me guessing, you know. It's like, mm-hmm. So many of these books, you like, you know, from the beginning who's gonna end up with who. And Daisy Jones kept me. It was, you know, is Billy going to leave his wife for Daisy? Would he maintain his sobriety? Is she gonna die? You know, is Daisy gonna overdose? You know, it just kept me guessing, and I felt like the ending was exactly what I wanted it to be. Uh-huh. You know, one exception, but
it was satisfying, though. It was a satisfying ending.
You know, so that, you know, it was my favorite book of the month. So definitely.
It's a good one.
Good. I think I would, I mean, I feel repetitive saying Maggie Stiefvater, but the listeners, every book she writes is so, I feel like she's the one author I want to shout to the world. Like, everyone needs to read a Maggie Stiefvater book because it's, and this is her, I believe this is her first like fully adult fiction book.
Okay. Maybe, yeah.
Because everything else has been considered YA, but I feel like I tell people all the time, it is YA written for adults. Like,
yes,
you might have teen characters often, but the way she writes is not like a YA writer. It's it's very smart. It's the way she puts the words together, very beautiful. The listeners, the difference is that these are adults but it still reads the same as the other books. So I will always recommend her. I just think it's a great book. And I, like I said, I feel like I get lost in the language sometimes. I go back and I reread a paragraph, not because I didn't get it, but because I was like, that is very beautiful. Very beautiful way to say it. Yeah. So definitely a great read. That's my recommendation.
Yeah. Well, now we've told you about what we've read this month. So it's your turn. Leave us a review or a comment and let us know what you're reading. We always love seeing more books.
Definitely.
And of course, if you haven't listened to last month's book club episode, Summer Nights and City Lights, what are you waiting for? It's really good. We have some really great discussion. So, and then join us on July 22nd for our next book club episode when we discuss Morbidly Yours by Ivy Fairbanks. And we are actually going to be joined by Ivy herself to chat about this book. Super excited. Super excited.
Absolutely. And don't forget to follow our socials, subscribe to the podcast, and please leave us a review. We want to know what you think.
And if there's a book out there that you think we would love and you'd like to see us read or cover in the book club, let us know.
So until next time, keep reading.
Keep exploring.
And don't forget to pack the snacks. The end.
The end.
Yay.